If you're traveling out west and you travel into Utah's Little Cottonwood Canyon, you head east from Salt Lake City, you'll be able to see some huge concrete arches that open to the face of a mountain. And then behind doors designed to withstand a nuclear strike, through tunnels that are blasted about 600 feet into the rock, there's a vault. And that vault is another 700 feet down. And in that vault is a treasure. A treasure in steel cases. It's not gold, and it's not jewels. It's microfilm. Millions of reels of microfilm. They contain billions of images of genealogical documents, an estimated 1/4 of the whole world's genealogical documents on Earth. And the collection, which is owned and operated by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, is the largest physical archive of ancestry in the world. Now, it's speculated that these days, genealogical research is the second most popular hobby in the United States. They say the first is gardening. Now, we don't know if that's true or not, but more than 26 million people have taken genetic ancestry tests since 2012. The Silicon-based company 23andMe, that's a testing company, went public in June 2021 with a valuation of $3.5 billion. And the genealogical giant Ancestry, which boasts more than 3 million subscribers, and it's the nation's largest genetic database, was purchased for $4.7 billion in 2020. Now, some people think these huge numbers, this immense interest in oneself and our origins is just a big sign of narcissism. And others find it a way to understand history. Who came before me? Who were my ancestors? But whatever you think about genealogy, today it has a huge influence on our lives, whether it's in the passport office or the doctor's office. It has a huge impact on the social and legal and medical conditions that we find ourselves in. Maude Newton is an author. She wrote a memoir about her experience investigating her own ancestry. She titled it Ancestor Trouble. And she says this, "The stories we tell ourselves about our ancestors have the power to shape us." So virtually every culture has a story about where did we come from? Not just who's our ancestors, what's our origin? In the Inca story, the emperors traced their beginnings to the sun, the Romans traced themselves to Venus, the sacred texts of Maya showed that there were people created out of clay and then later from wood. And the God of our Hebrew scriptures that we're reading today, after making the heavens and the earth and filling them with plants and animals and fish, formed humankind of the dust. Some say man from the dust and woman from his rib. But this is our story of origin. And what started me thinking about ancestry, you might wonder that at these lessons, what made you think of that? It was our journey through the Hebrew scriptures. We've been doing this for several weeks now, maybe a couple of months. We've been hearing the story of the patriarchs. So starting with Abram and Sarai, their journey to become bearers of the people of God as Abraham and Sarah. Their life in Canaan, we're hearing about that, far from their ancestral family. And now the story continues as Isaac embarks on his adult journey. Now, when we look at this story that we heard this morning, the story of the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah and how it came about, you may wonder, how did we get such a rich, lengthy story about a really common occurrence in those days. It was just a marriage. But the story begins with a really urgent conversation between Abraham and his most trusted servant. So Abraham is asking the servant to swear on an oath that he will find a bride for Isaac from his own people, from his people, his ancestors in Mesopotamia. So any woman who was going to become Isaac's wife would need to travel over just as great a distance as Abram and Sarai went to come to Canaan. And what's more, Abraham wanted a relative of his, rather than a Canaanite, to be Isaac's wife, to keep the family in the Hebrew faith that had been their whole life. They had struggled so hard with this one God, and they wanted to make sure that their faith was alive. So family and faith were hugely important to the Hebrew people. And as we continue to move through the summer, the Genesis story will continue to go through the generations. Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Rachel and Leah, the adventures of the tribes of Israel. That's what we're going to be hearing, this history, this genealogy. And it continues to emphasize the importance of family. But there's another piece of genealogy and ancestry here. It tells everyone who was in and who was out. Who was clean and who was unclean. You'll remember sins of the parents were sometimes said to be visited on the children as if they're inherited. Priests could only come from a certain tribe. They all came from the tribe of Levi. So while these stories of family history tell us where we come from, they also help some groups claim power over others. The begats of the Old Testament that tells who begat who, the ones we skip when we're reading the Bible, that showed the importance of the lineage as a basis of authority. And you'll see that hierarchies that we create up until this day based on ancestry are nearly universal. But how about today? Today's love affair with ancestry has its own history. Starting in the 18th century, the location of genealogical records shifted. Before this time, in general, where were birth records kept? Death records, marriage records. They were kept in the church. They were kept at home in your family Bible. Then they moved to government certification of births, marriages, and deaths. The legal codes granted and restricted citizenship based on ancestry. Think of the United States, one drop rule. That was a legal principle of racial classification in the early 20th century, where it stated that if a person had one person of black ancestry in their family, they were considered black. Early 20th century. Think also immigration tied to national origin. Think of the Germans requiring their members who were claiming to be Aryan to possess ancestor passes to prove Aryan descent. So the thing that these 23andMe and other measurements of ancestry have in common is that they rest on some deep assumption about the definition of race, ethnicity, nationality, in or out. And as Maud Newton pointed out, ancestry doesn't simply have power in critical ways. It's an instrument of power. So I wonder what our faith tells us today about ancestry. Well, just as we've been traveling with the Hebrew people on their journey through the Hebrew scriptures and the readings we've been hearing, we've been traveling with Jesus in the Gospels as he makes his way around Galilee. So we hear his story this year in Matthew. He's walking through Galilee, picking up disciples on the way, healing lepers, healing blind people, teaching about salt and light, talking about adultery and divorce, talking about how to be blessed and how to forgive. He raises a girl from the dead He heals a paralyzed man. Love your enemies, he said. Do not judge others, he said. And then he began to speak about family, our relatives. Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus puts our relatives in their proper place. They are second to God. This is no way saying that family is bad, family is irrelevant. It says that family is second. And for some of us, a bit farther down the list. But we can see through the reflection of ancestry that it's easy to idolize relatives, family, and ancestors. We're all children of God first. God's gift to all of us is loving families, blood relation or not, to help us to spread God's love in the world. And Jesus told us how to do that too. Whoever welcomes you, welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. As the Ancestry.com motto says, every family has a story. As the children of God, we are vessels of the DNA of God. Our story is love. Amen.